Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
We have to go with Malik again. We'll give him that confidence in a different game that where there might be more demands on him that he could handle more.
Well, we'll continue to progress through and take a look and see where we are this week of practice. And, you know, I think it's a good opportunity that he got his first start. And I know he'll learn a lot more. He'll learn from the things that, you know, he can correct and fix. And, you know, that's the way we'll approach it. We'll try to make sure that there's a plan in place and that everybody's confident in it and see how the game goes.
How much do you think the week off helped Ryan, and how's he doing maybe a week later?
We'll know more when we practice on Wednesday.
Is the I know the illness came out late, too. Is he over the illness portion of things?
We'll see on Wednesday when the injury report comes out.
The offensive line's play yesterday. What did you see on tape?
Well, I thought that they were into it, obviously, trying to get Derek to the second and third level. It's hard to block the post safety. We run out of guys. And so Derek was on that guy a lot. And I felt like, you know, sometimes they moved and we caught them, and sometimes they didn't move and we caught them, but then sometimes they moved, they caught us a couple times there. And but all in all, I think that they were into their combinations. There's things that, you know, they can improve on, but there were things that we had talked about trying to get better at that showed up.
Christian Fulton said yesterday that he wants to take that next step towards becoming a better player. For you, and especially after seeing that game yesterday, what have you seen that has allowed him to do that?
Well, I think, you know, this league is about, you know, everything that you want to do is about the next week. So I'm glad that Christian wants to try to improve. I hope they all do. Christian knows we hold him to a high standard, but he's going to have to do that against Kansas City. You know, number one passing offense in the league, number one for points. So this week would be a good week to continue to improve and cover and tackle like he's done. And, you know, he's playing man. He understands the concepts most of the time in zone. So that's been good to see.
What does it say about Jeff that he was able to turn in a dominant type performance on an ankle injury and not able to practice all week?
Can't say enough, you know, I mean, about him as a player and a person. We've talked about his technique and how he's improved on that. I think that continues to help him. This team means a lot to him. We need Jeff to help us perform.
Talk us through the play where Chig was pretty wide open on the right side and what Malik saw and did.
Well, I'm not going to be able to speak for what Malik saw or did, but, you know, we just got to get it out of our hands sooner.
How much of your defensive success here these recent weeks is predicated on being able to do it with just four guys up front, not having to bring an extra?
I mean, I think that's, you know, part of it. I mean, yesterday it was about stopping a run and forcing them into longer yarded situations and then affecting the quarterback. And, you know, sometimes it was the coverage, sometimes it was the rush. I mean, Bud Sack was great coverage, third and long in a red zone, and, you know, quarterback had to hold the ball. There were other times where the, you know, the rush helped the coverage. And I think that's a great way to be able to play defense, is not to rely solely on one area, but try to let everything work together and, you know, have everybody do their jobs.
Simmons and Tart make kind of a good pair. Do the skill sets complement one another in any way?
Well, Tier continues to improve and be disruptive in there, and I think they communicate well, even on the first play of the game. You saw Tier out there hustling, you know, on the screen. They tried to throw to the tight end. And so he continues to improve. He affected the quarterback a few times there late in the game. I don't know if they necessarily complement each other. I think that, you know, they both work in there a lot. The more the Tier can play for us, I think the better that we are. But he's got to play up to the standard and the effort and with which we expect. So he's working on that and trying to do that, because if he's not running to the football, you know, then we're not going to have him out there.
Does his improvement, I guess gradual improvement, kind of lessen the attention a little bit on Simmons?
I mean, I think Jeff's still going to get plenty of attention, whoever's over there.
Mike, you alluded yesterday after the game about how you guys didn't panic with the rushing yards you gave up in week one, and you believed it would be a good defense. The numbers of the first 2 weeks defensively, obviously not great. Since then, they've been pretty good. Where did the stick-to-itiveness or, like, resolve stay with from that group, do you think, that allowed you to get back to what you do best?
Well, it's a long season. You know, it's a long season. You have to, you know, believe in something. You have to have a foundation, things that you teach, defense that you've been running, you know, that players, you know, just becoming more comfortable in it and, you know, having some success. And, you know, I know there's going to be some tweaks each and every week, but, you know, ultimately you just kind of settle down and be able to make some plays and stop giving up X plays. And, you know, I think that but every week, you know, you have to be able to come back and say who are we playing, what is it that they do well, and what tweaks are we going to need to make, and how much of our normal stuff can we carry through, because that's the stuff that they know and they play fast and, you know, are able to execute.
How big was it that the defense was able to help you overcome some problems early, the two turnovers
the sudden
and
change,
missed field goal?
Yeah, the sudden change was huge. The miss, like you said, being able to back them up, and then when they get the ball down there on the 10-yard line, you know, actually pushing them backwards there as well, keeping them out of the end zone, holding the 3 points.
Negative 26 yards of offense after those 2 yards, after those two turnovers.
Well, we just have to do that. We have to play that well when we don't turn it over.
As you look back to that championship game against the Chiefs, you know, you guys have had two consecutive division titles. Do you feel like that was kind of, I know it's a loss, but do you feel like that was kind of like a launching point into the success that you guys have had the last couple years?
Teron, I haven't thought back about that. I haven't. I don't. You know what I mean? I just try to continue to push forward, figure out what we need each and every week, and then kind of go from there. So I know there's going to be some players that have played in that game, be some guys, different players, and, you know, we're just continuing to try to build and figure out, you know, how we win each and every week.
Put yourself in a spot where you're the two seed right now and head-to-head matchup for it. I know there's a long way to go, but the obvious importance on this one.
Yeah, not even halfway through, though, Corey. Not even halfway through. Lot more games, but this will be a huge challenge going on the road. Great environment at night. So we'll need everybody that we possibly can get back and figure out a way to keep them out of the end zone.
Talk about the success of their offense. I mean, what do you even start? I mean, is it starts with the quarterback trying to figure out a way to limit his effectiveness? And how about some of their other weapons that you're going to have to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with, obviously, Patrick and his ability to not only throw from in the pocket but improvise, and, you know, the understanding he has with Kelce and Hardman, and looks like Juju's starting to be a focal point, Scantling, and, you know, they play three backs that can all catch the ball, and, you know, they put a lot of pressure on you.
You've had good success against them. Has there been a common thread to what you've been able to do?
I mean, we've probably taken care of the football. We've probably gotten some turnovers from them, won the turnover battle. You know, probably not giving up big plays. I think that's the thing that I can remember the last time we played them, is we didn't give up a bunch of X plays, and, you know, we were good in the red zone.
Offensively, can you guys afford to be as one-dimensional as you had to be yesterday going forward?
We'll see. You know.
Despite being one-dimensional in those ways, Derek had over 100 yards against the stacked box, 120 yards, something like that.
It's the same box. Why, you guys, the gurus, it's the same box we see every week. Yeah, I mean, like, it's that box isn't changing, just so everybody knows. Like, guys throw around to analytics or whatever you guys, like, we can go talk ball. It's the same box. The safety's at 12 yards, okay, whether they move or blitz, it's the same number of guys. But go ahead, ask your question.
Oh, you answered it.
There you go. If I was, I mean, the post safety, probably in the fourth quarter, he should have moved to 8 yards. Like, I don't know what to tell you. He went from 12 to 8. Thanks, guys.
There you go, Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. You can always tell when he's just kind of done with the line of questioning.
Yeah.
And think he was.
He was, But nobody asked about the trade deadline?
I know. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're asking about stacking the box against Derrick Henry.
Which his point is, the box is always stacked when Derrick Henry's in the game. That's going to be the case. But so that's nothing. Like he said, that's nothing new.
Like, he's not.
But a pressing thing right now is the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm there and somebody might be like, well, why don't you go ask the question? Well, I'm doing a show right now. But if I was there, I'd be like, hey, Mike, how much are you and John talking about the trade deadline, things that you might be interested in, what kind of conversations are happening? He's not going to answer
it. He may not say anything.
He's going to be like, hey, we're evaluating like we do every week, or give some canned BS answer, whatever. But still ask the question. Like, just ask. That's all you got to do.
I guess they were scared he was going to say basically what he said when I asked him about the box. Like, listen, man, the boxes don't change. Yeah. It's always going to be a stacked box, no matter what. Right. The box is going to be the box. And I'm pretty sure he would say that about the trade.
Sure.
But at least ask the question.
Still
ask.
And look, I don't want to be one of those media people telling media how to do their jobs. And
I would have liked to hear that question.
Right.
Let's just say that.
Yeah,
I would have liked to hear the trade question.
Willie, enjoy beautiful Edmonton. I know you were headed to the airport.
Keep Max in check.
Yes.
Keep him in the bubble.
Look, keep him. Just check in with him every hour.
Don't worry. We got it.
Look, I'll tell you what I'm worried about.
Hold on.
No man is left behind.
Willie's saying.
I know.
He's saying it in that devilish way.
I'm tiptoeing around this, so I'm just going to say it. I want you to be in charge, because if Hal tries to take over, I'm worried he won't come back.
No, Hal will be an outstanding guide for the young rookie.
I know, but I've been a rookie on a road trip with Hal Gill before, and there's a little bit of an initiation that happens.
But all in good fun. All to build the camaraderie of a great broadcast team.
Max is, look, he's got a lot. He's going to do great. He's done great. You know.
So you're tasked to watch over him. Don't let Hal get his hands on him.
Look,
okay,
we're a team. We're a team. Hal's part of the team. He adds his ingredients. I have my ingredients.
I don't trust him.
C-Mace has his ingredients.
We might have to pawn him off.
Lindsay Rowley's got her ingredients.
I may need to call Lindsay and make sure Lindsay. You know, I trust Lindsay.
Yeah.
You trust Lindsay?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, Mace may be
But
the
you
guy.
Don't trust all of us? Like, come on.
I'm skeptical.
We're all part of it. We're five as one.
I think I'm jealous that I'm not going. That's what it is.
Okay. All right. We will report in. There will be plenty of coverage as long as the internet works.
Yeah.
Over
no,
there.
It will.
I think we'll be okay.
And just for full disclosure, Pete dealing with a nagging hip, so he's not going to be on the road trip. He is going to be a part of the broadcasts with me handling pre and post, so he'll be jumping in and
we'll
be a part of things.
With Pete,
so
and
he's
so
doing all right. He just lower body day to day.
Yep, lower body injury.
Yes,
week to week, maybe week to week is the best.
And honestly, this is being serious. We want Pete to get back to 100% as fast as possible, and so this is the best track. And so we're taking Max on this. This is a lengthy road trip here, and so he's diving in.
Hal Gill has weighed in, but I can't read his text.
Well, I'll be seeing Hal here very shortly with Mr. Hurst. So.
I will paraphrase. Yeah. He's all mine.
All right, take care, guys.
Safe travels to Edmonton, and again, we will have coverage back here with pregame tomorrow starting at 7 on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll react to some of the things that Mike Vrabel said. Take your calls, your texts, your reaction. The Titans have won five in a row, 615-737-1025. It's Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason now with you as Willie has headed to the airport. You can weigh in, 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. As the Titans win yesterday, 17-10 in Houston in Malik Willis's debut, was not asked to do too much. Only attempted 10 passes, was 6 of 10, did have the interception, was sacked three times, but they ran the ball effectively. Total of 314 yards on 45 attempts between Derrick Henry, Dontrell Hilliard, and Malik Willis, averaging 7 yards a carry. Henry had the two touchdowns, surpassing Eddie George for the all-time lead in franchise history, 4 touchdowns. Eddie George show tonight at 6 here on 102.5 The Game. You know EG is going to be talking about that. And I think he was the most excited for Derek to pass him mm-hmm. and to get that record. But now things shift, and you just heard – I can always tell when Vrabel has already moved on from a game, and now he's looking ahead. He's looking to the next one. He's in that mode.
Mm-hmm.
He is looking to Sunday night in Kansas City right now. Now, he was asked a few times about Ryan Tannehill, did not provide an update, said, we'll find out when the injury report comes out on Wednesday, as you knew he was going to say. The only thing that I wanted to hear a little bit more out of, and again, he probably wouldn't have answered it, but just the trade deadline, what they're looking at, would they potentially make a move between now and tomorrow afternoon before the trade deadline? We will see. But Wednesday will be interesting. I believe that Ryan Tannehill will play. Do I believe he's 100%? No. But I would rather have him at 75% just because of his experience level, knowing that you can use Malik Willis in some different packages. You can do some other things. Maybe they add an offensive weapon, and you do that going into Kansas City. But I believe Tannehill's going to play.
Well, if he is going to play, or they expect him to play, I think it will be if he's close to 100%. Again, I don't think you put your quarterback in a position when he's not 100%. Again, if this was some other injury, then maybe yes. But it's an ankle injury, and Ryan does a good job at extending plays. He's mobile. He can get out outside the pocket when he needs to. That's one of his strengths as a quarterback. And if he's limited and he can't and he's not able to do that, then it extremely restricts your team to doing basically what you did last week, this past Sunday, against a much better team. I know, listen, if you put Malik Willis in, it ends up being the same thing, and I get it. But I don't want to risk my season just to try to get one game on an AFC team. They're not in my division. We might end up playing them again in the playoffs. I would rather be healthier moving forward than, putting my quarterback in a position where he could potentially get hurt again. So it would be great if he could play, but if he's still hobbled, especially if he doesn't get any reps again this week, then why even put him in that position as a head coach? I can't see Vrabel doing that if Ryan Tannehill doesn't practice this week. Now, if Ryan Tannehill practiced, then yeah, he's going to play. But if he doesn't practice this week, I can't see Vrabel then throwing him out there knowing that he's not fully 100%. Again, if it was some other minor injury, then yes. But, this ankle injury seems to be serious enough that he didn't practice any last week, and then all of a sudden comes up with this illness that he can't travel. So I don't know. But you got to weigh the pros and the cons of him playing. And if you're looking at it from a macro sense, you're like, okay, we got one game without him. Maybe he doesn't play another game, and let's see how it goes. Cause when he comes back, we want him 100%.
Sure. But I think you make a good point, because you do have to weigh what are your realistic chances to win this game? I mean, any week in the National Football League, any given Sunday, you can go win a game. We all know that. We all know how this works. They've won in Kansas City when nobody gave him a chance before, both regular season and playoffs. But if you have to be, if you're being honest, the odds of you going in there and winning Sunday night are not very good. You're an 11-point dog on the road. And so if that's the case with Ryan Tannehill, then the case without Ryan Tannehill is much worse. And if you feel like that you can let him rest a week longer and get better for the stretch run, then maybe you do that. But I believe if he's close, he's going to play. That's what I believe.
And, I mean, it could be the case. You know, to me, if he doesn't practice, he doesn't play.
Do you buy this whole illness thing? Because he was even just, asked, is the illness? Was, I'm like, what is this?
It was just too ironic that he gets an illness toward the end of the week when they got to make a decision on whether he's up or down. Oh, he hasn't. Now, I'm not taking away the fact he could have been sick, but was he that sick enough to not travel unless it was COVID or something and you don't want to travel? But then if it's that, then okay. I mean, you know, I don't know what the protocols for the NFL is now that we are, you know, over a year removed from it. But it just all came up. It came up sort of at the right time. The illness came at the right time. But if he can't play this week, I mean, if he can't practice this week, I can't see Mike Vrabel urging, you know, Downing and you know, whoever else and John, hey, he good to go on Sunday. Because he didn't, you know, we are not worried that he didn't practice during the week. He's good to go now. I think he has to get some practices in order for Vrabel to say, okay, he's good to go this week.
We will find out coming up on Wednesday, like Mike Vrabel said, when they return to practice. What will this team look like then? That'll be the question. But coming up next, is Derrick Henry back to form after a 200-yard performance yesterday in Houston? 615-737-1025. Derek and I will discuss that coming up next. But can you beat Vegas this Super Bowl? Let's try this again. Reset. Can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. No fancy computer algorithms. No guys across the pond setting the lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business behind the counter right there at the book. The Superbook in Las Vegas. Plus, Superbook features one of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So do like I did. Make it your official sportsbook, download the Superbook Sports app, or visit superbook.com, and you can start your battle against Vegas right now. Tennessee, plus 11 on the road in Kansas City Sunday night. You can take that one if you'd like. You got Cincinnati as a road favorite tonight, minus 3 in Cleveland. It's all there. It's all at your fingertips. Just download the Superbook Sports app or go to superbook.com. You can go to superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789.
Despite being one-dimensional in those ways, Derek had over 100 yards against the stacked box, 120 yards, something like that.
It's the same box. Why you guys, the gurus, it's the same box we see every week. Yeah, I mean, like, it's that box isn't changing. Just so everybody knows. Like, guys throw around the analytics or whatever you guys like. We can go talk ball. It's the same box. The safety's at 12 yards. Okay, whether they move or blitz, it's the same number of guys.
There you go, Mike Vrabel. When asked about stacking the box against Derrick Henry, it's the same one every week. It always happens. You could tell. At least he had a little fun with that one. But you can definitely tell Mike Vrabel back here, Chase Willie DeMace, that he's in game mode already. He's looking ahead to Kansas City, one of his former teams that he played for.
Yes, it is. And he's, I mean, with the exception of the AFC Championship game loss, they've fared very, you know, pretty good against the Chiefs as of lately. So, you know, they've always had Mahomes, and they will have Mahomes this week. And if the Titans play him again next year, they will have Mahomes next year. But for some reason, you know, Vrabel finds a way to get his team up. They may not score a lot of points, but that defense forces you sometimes to do things out of character. They make you rush, and they make you be disciplined. I don't think when Vrabel puts together his game plan for the defense, I truly believe he thinks, like, listen, we got good players on our side of the ball. We do. And, you know, we're not going to, you know, slouch down anybody. But we understand we're playing some high-powered offenses. But we don't think as an offense, you are patient enough to drive the ball down the field methodically without doing anything, consistently without doing anything to mess it up for yourself. I know I said the Kansas City, you know, last year Kansas City, they couldn't do that because they were so much, it was so much ingrained in their mind with Tyreek Hill to get the ball down the field, get the ball down the field. Let's find a way to get Tyreek down the field. That it sort of hurt them last year, especially when they played the Titans. This year is going to be a little bit harder of a task for the Titans because this is how Kansas City plays now. They can hit you with a big shot, but they don't have, you know, that you know, never before seen speed that they had last year with Tyreek Hill. So now they have to move the ball methodically down the field. And they've gotten used to that. Now, what Vrabel is betting on is you can't do it against us because we're right. going to put pressure on you. You know, we don't have to blitz you to get to the quarterback. We can rush our guys up front and they will push the pocket and get to you. And you're not patient enough just to take the dump downs or the 5 yards. You're not patient enough to do that. I know that's your game, but you're not going to be consistently patient enough to do it against us. Because not only are we disciplined, but we're physical as well as a defensive unit.
Now, this is an interesting game to look at from this standpoint of the Mike Vrabel special category. Mm-hmm. Nobody's given the Titans a chance. Vegas has said they're an 11-point underdog on the road. You don't know if Ryan Tannehill is, one, going to be available or how close to 100% he's actually going to be. Now, did Derrick Henry have a good day yesterday? 219 yards. Has he been running the ball well? Yes, absolutely. In 3 career regular season games against Kansas City, he's got 61 carries, 332 yards, 4 touchdowns.
He's averaging over, 100 yards a game against him.
Yeah, 5.4 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. All right, pretty good. So you could say that this is one of those games, and like I can hear it, I could already hear it in his voice, that this is one that he loves these games. Mm-hmm. Vrabel loves these games because these are the ones where he can go, hey, guys, nobody gives us a chance. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks that our 5-game winning streak is a fluke. We're in a bad division. We're not a very good team. All those things. Mm-hmm. And this is where he's really, really good. So who's to say that that doesn't come into play? Now, I believe that Kansas City is the second best team in the AFC. They're in the upper echelon of teams in the league as a whole. You know, I think Philadelphia certainly deserves some credit, but I want to see Philly against Dallas with Dak. I want to see Philadelphia against some of these better teams as they go down the stretch because mm-hmm. I think to this point they've had a favorable schedule mm-hmm. for them. But we know Buffalo's for real. And we believe Kansas City's for real. So let's see. Let's see it Sunday night. Let's see them try and stack up with what they have. I don't believe that they're going to really make a splash move at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but I don't feel like Robinson's going to do that. And they're going to go into Kansas City with what they got, with Dennis Daly at left tackle, mm-hmm. probably Ryan Tannehill at quarterback and Derrick Henry at running back, and this – gang of misfits that they've had at receiver,
yeah,
led by Robert Woods,
because they're leaning heavy on their run game, and that's one thing the offensive line has been able to do well is to run block. You know, pass blocking is a different story, but run blocking, the last 4 or 5 weeks they've done a really good job. They've gotten better each and every week, so I don't see them deviating from, you know, that game plan, which makes it a sort of a dirty, physical, grimy type of game, which I know Vrabel, he has to love those type of games because it's, you know, you're setting a line of scrimmage and you're dominating the line of scrimmage from a run blocking standpoint. That's what you want to do. Max, you know, any coordinator around, what are you trying to establish? I'm trying to establish the run game and I'm trying to dominate the line of scrimmage. We need to push them backwards or down the field, have them going backwards, meaning the offensive line and the defensive line going backwards, and controlling the line of scrimmage. And imposing our will on you. And if we can do that, then, you know, it's a win for us, the Titans. On the defensive side of the ball, they're thinking the same thing. With our front, with Autry, Simmons, Tart, Dupree, whoever else you want, with our front, we are capable enough and we believe enough in our guys that they're going to set the line of scrimmage and push it back into you. So the Titans like this type of matchup. They like this type of, okay, yeah, you claim to be this is the best passing team in the NFL. Okay, all right, cool. We don't mind. This is what we're made for. This is what this team was built to do. Stop the run and the pass. We are a physical, we are a disciplined team on defense. And again, we're going to hit you in the mouth hard. And we're going to be disciplined, and we don't think you can be disciplined as an offense. We think eventually you're going to give us the ball, and when you give us the ball, it's going to be at the wrong time for you and the right time for us.
615-737-1025. Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben asks, does D-Mace think Henry would benefit from having a good fullback like teams used to use, at least to use occasionally?
I mean, it wouldn't hurt to have a fullback on the team. Last year they had a fullback.
Yeah, I mean, I think what he means is like a low kneel type, like a true fullback,
again,
which has gone away.
Yeah, that's gone. I think it wouldn't hurt, you know, but I think it would have, I think it would have to be a fullback that also catch passes as well at the backfield. You know, to have that extra blocker in front of you, and I'm not meaning the offensive lineman, I mean that guy in the backfield with you. I don't know how much it would change, but it wouldn't hurt.
Sure.
So, you know, because they hadn't had a fullback, like a consistent fullback in years. I mean, they had – who was the fullback last year?
Well, they've used Blasingame. They've used Blasingame, and then they have Torrey Carter, who's been hurt.
Exactly. So, they have one of those guys.
They've been putting Swaim or somebody back there if they need the fullback.
Exactly. So, I mean, it wouldn't hurt them. But I'm sure if they had to use a fullback, they would use it.
I think they just need to get Hilliard more involved.
Yeah.
And just use him more. You take some carries off of Henry, use Hilliard. Hell, even use Haskins some. You know?
Well, at least use Hilliard at the beginning of the game, you know,
sure.
While you're getting Derrick Henry going. And if you say, okay, now we want to use strictly Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter,
you can use Hilliard. You don't have dynamic receivers right now. I mean, I think Woods is doing everything you can ask him to do, but you don't really have any other options. Why would you not use Hilliard, put him on the field at the same time, use Hilliard in the pass game?
I have no idea. I really don't.
There were a few times yesterday where they were both on the field at the same time, mm-hmm. and I was going, there you go. Use that more. I love that.
Because
you can either throw out of the backfield mm-hmm. or you can bring Hilliard out wide. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can do.
Yeah, but that's not who they are. Yeah, one back in the backfield, and that's how they roll.
I know.
And they're not, you know, consistently used to, you know, having that extra back there that can, you know, kind of, you know, make things a little bit difficult for the defense. No. It's like, listen, we're running downhill, and we don't run it. We're play action and, you know, throwing that in route or trying to hit a deep post or something like that. So – that's just who they are. They're not going to – that's who the Titans are. They're not deviating from it. You know, they have not since they've gotten here in 97. What makes you think they are going to change now who they are?
Yeah, no doubt. Viking Matt says CJ Ham might be the only fullback in the league and maybe the guy from San Francisco.
He right. He may be right.
Juszczyk, is that how you say his name?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you might be right.
I think he's
right. There's not many of them around.
I think he's right. We'll continue to take your calls and your texts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Another resourceful win for Mike Vrabel. But is the division becoming more and more clear of that it's going to be the Titans to lose? Derek and I will discuss that. Coming up next, Chase William, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason. Willie is headed to Edmonton. Be sure to catch the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3 The Game tonight at 6. Live at 6 in Peabody, the Eddie George Show is brought to you by Low T Centers in Xander Insurance. Xander gives you more options, and more options means more savings for you. Free quote at xanderinsurance.com. Going to be a good one as he talks about Derrick Henry breaking his record as the franchise leader in touchdowns for the Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers. Very cool moment for Derrick Henry yesterday. But I look at this division, and we've talked about this, and Coach Willie would be here saying that, you know, nothing's given, but let's just call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Indy sucks. Indianapolis sucks.
Yeah.
The Colts are awful. They choked one away yesterday against the Commanders. They lose. I didn't think that Ellinger really played all that bad. I thought it wasn't really him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you had Jonathan Taylor fumble the ball in the red zone, which was not good. You had a drop pass, so they shot themselves in the foot. They're at 3-4. Jacksonville, I heard Robbie put it best this morning that everybody wants to say, you know, the underlying numbers say they're the best team in the division, but they've lost 5 in a row. They can't seem to win. They don't know how to win yet at 2-6. And then Houston, who the Titans saw yesterday, they're abysmal. So you don't have to worry about that. The Titans just have to continue to take care of their own business. If they do that, this division's theirs. And it's pretty clear that this division is theirs to lose as long as they don't get in their own way.
Well, that and as long as they don't have any more, you know, they can't have any more devastating injuries, you know, moving forward. Even with that, I mean, the way Houston is playing, they've given up. I think they've truly given up. Yesterday was an indication of a team that just don't care. It's like, okay, let's just finish out, 9 weeks, 10 weeks, and let's get out of here. That was just a dismal by the Houston Texans, and they should be embarrassed. Everybody should be embarrassed with that performance.
Brandon Cooks tried to sneak on with Takahashi and his crew.
He tried to get on a plane coming back
as an equipment guy.
Yeah, it was like, nah, you stay with that team over there.
We'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
We'll talk about it. We'll let you know.
Houston is disappointed. They should be ashamed of themselves. Indianapolis, I think they too. When they made that quarterback change, to me, it was twofold. It was, listen, we don't want to embarrass I truly believe this. They didn't want to embarrass Matt Ryan anymore than what he was, you know, because it was just embarrassing watching him, knowing he couldn't move, and an offensive lineman that can't block at all. It was sad to see him kind of try to move around in a pocket, and he couldn't. So they were like, we owe it to him to not play him, just sit on the side, not play him. But by doing that, I think you've said, you know what, we are in a sweepstakes for a quarterback, and hopefully we can play well enough to not get outside. We play well enough, but not that good that we get outside the top 5 picks, you know? Because even if – I think every team right now was – just about every team is built to go, you know, 9-7? 9-6? 9-7.
Or 9-8.
9-8 now. Either 9-8 or 8-9. So even if they have – a 8-9 record, they still might end up, you know, picking in the top 5 with that record. So I think they're done. I think Jacksonville, I do believe personnel-wise, they may have the best roster personnel-wise, but they don't know how to win. They just don't. It's clear that the Jacksonville Jaguars don't know how to win close games because they're a young team and a quarterback continues to do things that are sort of like, oh man, you did that, you threw an interception right there, like, goodness, just throw the ball away. And listen, I still think he's a rookie, because last year that was just a wash for him. That whole Urban Meyer thing was a wash for him. It probably set him back a year. So he's
color
still
red shirt
exactly
here.
He's still dealing with his rookie season. So if the Titans just remain healthy, I think they win this division moving forward. You know, they can't have any They can't have a Jeffrey Simmons go down and can't play. They can't have a Kevin Byard go out and can't play. They can't have one of the other offensive linemen go down and can't play. You know, this is a team that they are winning in spite of the offense being abysmal. And that's saying a lot because this offense right now is averaging, what, 18 points a game? Mm-hmm. They're not even averaging 20 points a game, man. Gosh, when the last time a Titans offense averaged 18 points a game? I mean, at least since the last couple of years, they've been in the 20s, right? Last 3 or 4 years, they've been in the 20s, 18 points a game. And you just think of the last couple of games, the defense has scored 3 touchdowns, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are winning in spite of. So, moving forward, I think the division's theirs, but they can't have any more injuries.
No. No, and here's the other thing to consider. As I look at the rest of the AFC, so division by division, mm-hmm. AFC South is only going to get – they're going to get the division winner in, and that's it. Mm-hmm. There's nobody else that you have to worry about. So, again, if the Titans just hold strong, they're going to win the division for the third straight year, and they're going to make the playoffs. The AFC East, I think they can get 2 teams in. Buffalo obviously being one.
And the Dolphins.
And probably the Dolphins. I think the Jets are frauds. Zach Wilson's not very good.
No, he's not. But see, I remember we had the question, who do you trust more, the Giants or the Jets?
Yeah.
I said the Giants.
Giants.
Because the Giants know what they have in their quarterback.
Yeah.
And they're working around him. The Jets still are trying to figure out their quarterback. So they're letting him be a bigger part of what's going on.
He's not very good.
And he's not helping them.
Like, honestly, now I don't think they could.
And losing their running back doesn't help.
No, and they traded for Robinson, who's not up yet. But I don't think it would help them on a playoff run. But honestly, Joe Flacco is a better option than Zach Wilson right now.
Yeah, he would be.
You know, just because he's a veteran and knows just the way he thinks. I mean, is Joe past his prime? Yes, of course. But I feel like they're frauds. Tua time. And I already told you, Mike McDaniel, I love Mike McDaniel, their head coach. You don't count Belichick and the Patriots out until it's done, but I don't think they have a lot. So I would say it's probably Buffalo and Miami that get out of the East.
I think 2 come out of the East, 2 come out of the North, 1 out of the South, and
2 out of the West.
2 out of the West.
That's what I was going to say. I think Baltimore, Cincinnati out of the North right now. Now, when Deshaun gets back for Cleveland, could they make a run? Yes, but they've lost 4 in a row. They got to get – Jacoby Brissett's got to win him a couple games.
Yeah.
To keep them in this. Tonight is a huge game for Cleveland. Huge game. And they're a 3-point dog. And then the West, I think the Chargers, you know, the Chargers are starting to play better, even though they did lose. They have lost. Denver sucks. Vegas sucks.
Yeah. It's Kansas City and the Chargers.
It's Kansas City's division to win.
And Chargers are the runner up.
And then the Chargers. But, you know, you're gonna have 3 wild cards come out of the AFC. And I think right now it's probably the Chargers and then either the Bengals or Ravens and then the Dolphins, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I can't see. It would have to be a complete meltdown for there to be more than one team out of AFC South that gets into the playoffs.
And then in the NFC, dude, Dallas's defense, man.
They're good.
They're scary.
They're good.
How about Pollard?
Yeah, he had a big day. What, 3 touchdowns yesterday?
Yeah, Zeke, it's been fun, man. Enjoy the rest of this year.
Yeah. Well, they still need his power, you know. He's not a home run hitter.
Yeah, but he's lost.
Yeah, he's lost some of it. Yeah, you know he has, but
he's beat up. And they owe him too much money to keep him after this year.
Yeah, he could take a pay cut,
maybe,
because he ain't gonna get that money nowhere else.
We'll see. I don't want to steal from Nick's thunder because it is time for his NFL zingers coming up next here on Chase Willie D Mace 102.5, 106.3 The Game.